But first, tonight we bring back one of my favorite segments of all time, the Monday Evening Quarterback. There's a tradition in Chicago, longstanding media tradition of using Monday night, usually after Sunday games, to analyze and break down more than what we saw from our TV sets or Soldier Field stands. Adam Hoge has become the go-to name for all things Bears. Why? Because he puts in the work. Like recently where he went and watched every single throw from 2018 thrown by Mitchell Trubisky. How about that? Just reading that piece, you get a better understanding of our offense, our young quarterback, and why we win and why we lose week in and week out. This town has rabid football fans. It's time to give them a rabid radio segment. This is not your 101 level. It's an advanced look at what happened on Thursday and what we expect to see on Sunday. The lines are always open. Text or call if you have a question for Adam Hoge. 312-981-7200. Adam Hoge on Twitter. And you can get his work at WGNRadio.com/Bears. Adam Hoge, welcome to the Monday Evening Quarterback.
Hey, Justin, excited to do this again.
Yes, this is going to be great. You know, first off, I thought about you all weekend because I was hoping against hope that you had gone back through the tape and back through the tape and back through the tape to find the silver lining from that dismal loss on Thursday night. What happened on Thursday night?
Yeah, it's been kind of hard to diagnose because, honestly, it was sort of a catastrophic offensive failure, and that it happened at multiple levels. I do think it started, though, with Mike Pettine, the Packers' defensive coordinator, out-scheming and out-coaching Matt Nagy. Mm. And I know it's hard to consider that a silver lining, but Matt Nagy's proven to be a pretty good coach. Now, he's not going to be perfect. He's not going to win every single week. And so I look at that like, all right, I don't think that's going to become a problem all year. It would surprise me, at least, if that became a problem all year. I think that, you know, the Packers just came extremely prepared. They have a better defense with their personnel. I still don't think their personnel compares to what the Bears have on defense. But I went back and specifically, Justin, when you watch the first quarter, it seemed like the Packers were ready for everything that Matt Nagy was throwing at them. And I'll come up with a specific example here that I think most Bears fans will understand. But you know that shovel pass to the tight end
right.
They like to run?
They love
it. They did a lot with Trey Burton last year. It starts with a zone read, and then Mitch keeps it, and he pitches it to the tight end. And, you know, the Bears tried to run that early on in the game, and the Packers had a guy waiting there for Tariq Cohen on the handoff, and so Mitch correctly kept the ball, then looked to pitch it, and he never pitched the ball, partly because on the defensive front, they had pushed Cody Whitehair so far backwards that he ran into tight end Brent Broniker, which disrupted the timing. And then there was also two Packers there waiting to tackle him, too. So Mitch ended up just keeping the ball, which was probably the right decision, and he ran it up the middle for 1 yard.
Would that be why when we saw Mitch Trubisky choose to either scramble or to take the secondary option on the RPO because the Packers had snuffed out these plays in advance?
Yeah, I think they were ready. I think they were ready for a lot of the things. Now, and that includes probably handing the ball off to Cordarrelle Patterson, who's a new player, and they hadn't run that play yet. But that was 3rd and 1. And, again, it goes back to multiple levels. I think they're ready for that play, but they also won up front. So it's not just that Matt Nagy got out-coached. I think that's the start of it. But the Bears were terrible on first down, and that starts with the offensive line. The offensive line didn't play well. And then Mitch Trubisky obviously did not play well either. I just think it was a snowballing effect, and Nagy didn't respond well.
Yeah.
They didn't run the ball enough.
Yeah, let me ask you this, because I thought about the out-coaching part. We did not really get to see that last year because Matt Nagy snuck up on a lot of NFL teams, a lot of NFL defenses, and he always seemed to be one step ahead. The Green Bay Packers have a long-standing tradition, at least a contemporary tradition, of outfoxing offensive coordinators and coaches for the Chicago Bears. All you have to do is point to the Jay Cutler era to see how Dom Capers and the Packers were toying with Jay Cutler and making him think it was one read and it was not, and him throwing stupid interceptions. Looked very similar on Thursday night in the way that it just seemed like the Packers were playing at a point where they were 1, 2, 3 steps ahead of everything the Bears offense was doing.
Yeah, and that gets us into the Trubisky conversation, which, I think the piece you referenced where I went back and watched his entire season last year, the biggest thing I saw is, and this isn't like rocket science when it comes to quarterbacks, but the more comfortable he was, the better he was. The more comfortable he was trusting not only the play calls, the plays that they are running, but what he was seeing with his eyes both before and after the snap, that was when Mitch was throwing the ball with conviction and with confidence. And when he does that, he's accurate, and he looks like a good NFL quarterback. And we saw a glimpse of that here and there, the throw to the left sideline, I believe in the second quarter, to Allen Robinson, a really well-thrown ball, and it was thrown with confidence because that's a situation where they do a good job of isolating Allen Robinson in one-on-one coverage, and when Mitch sees that, he likes to throw that because he can trust Allen Robinson, and he trusts that he's in one-on-one coverage, and when he does that, he throws a good catchable ball, and they make good plays. That's what you want as an offense. And I think to your point with your question, Justin, is they did such a good job, the Packers, that is, of you know, keeping the Bears off schedule and probably throwing in some new looks in there that they weren't ready for, that I just didn't see a lot of throws thrown with conviction. And I saw the game moving too fast for Mitchell Trubisky, which is the biggest thing I always point to, is the area where hopefully he improves as the game slows down for him. And in this specific game, it didn't really slow down for him. So I don't know if that's just a one-week thing, or is this a bigger picture, something to be worried about?
Well, that's where we'll pick up the conversation after we take our first break. We'll talk about the offense, both Mitchell Trubisky and the offensive line, and the non-existent running game. All that will be discussed here on the Monday Evening Quarterback. 312-981-7200 if you've got a question or comment for Adam Hoge here on the Monday Evening Quarterback. It's extension 720. Stay with us.
Come on! Rush him, blitz him, sack him, low. Rush him, hit him, crack him, bow.
Yes, it's the Monday Evening Quarterback. 312-981-7200. Adam Hoge is with us. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam Hoge, or, of course, at WGNRadio.com/Bears, where you can get all his writing and those podcasts and his everything he does for the station when it comes to covering the Chicago Bears. As we mentioned right before the break, let's talk offense. The Mitchell Trubisky performance on Thursday night was, and I'm not much of a, I'm not an expert when it comes to the NFL, but just watching a little bit of Red Zone yesterday, I would rate Mitchell Trubisky's performance the worst of week one. And the Bears are the only team without a touchdown, I believe, like looking through the NFL Sunday ticket. So what does that mean? I mean, without a touchdown and the way he looked, and like you said, he was not sure with his throws. Are we seeing a full-on regression? What should we take away from that performance?
I don't know if it's regression, but it wasn't a great start. In fact, I guess you'd kind of hope it would be regression. You wish it could say it was regression. Yeah, right. unfortunately, it means he's had some games like that before, and he has. But no, I mean, it certainly was worse than how he ended last season. I've talked many times about how impressed I was with what he did in the fourth quarter of that playoff game a year ago. And I think that goes back to what I was saying before the break, which was that when he's throwing with confidence and conviction in his throws, when he's comfortable, he looks good. And, you know, usually when he's going off schedule or he's facing pressure and he ends up making plays with his feet, and part of the problem was in Thursday's game, I thought he was kind of looking to scramble a little bit too early sometimes, and the Packers were doing just a good job of containing him and not letting him get too loose. So it was a recipe for disaster. I'll also say that he wasn't given much help. I don't think the play calling helped him. The lack of a running game didn't help him. And his offensive line in front of him, you talk about being comfortable as a quarterback. When your offensive line's not blocking in front of you, it's hard to trust your feet and trust your arm. Now, the great ones find a way, and that's part of being an NFL quarterback. So in that regard, I am a little bit concerned that we're this deep into his career, and he still needs to be, you know, kind of put in ideal conditions to make the type of throws that you need to make.
Right.
That's concerning in the big picture, but I think that is a separate conversation of, can he still be the quarterback for a Super Bowl winning team? And I do think this defense is still good enough.
We're going
to talk. He needs to play a lot better than he did last week, but I don't think he needs to be Drew Brees or Tom Brady
well, you see,
to win a Super Bowl.
You see all of the comparisons to the quarterbacks that were picked during his when he came in, you know, Deshaun Watson playing tonight for the Texans, or, of course, Patrick Mahomes, or even the quarterbacks that were picked last year, Lamar Jackson, and some of the progression that obviously it's just one game that we saw yesterday. But it seems to me you hear a lot of pundits talk about what they see with Mitch Trubisky is that if his first read is out, his second read is out, he's not the kind of quarterback that is fast enough to, like a Tom Brady, get to your third or fourth or even fifth option in the amount of time that he's given. So is that a deficiency when it comes to him as quarterback if he's not developing that, or is that just something that you know, most young quarterbacks can't get past the second before they take off?
Well, it is hard. I mean, that is one of the biggest leaps that young quarterbacks have to make, and I think that goes back to the game being slow enough for them. You know, to process a full field, you can't be in a rush with your mechanics, with your eyes, with everything, and I don't know that Mitch has gotten to that point yet. I do, you know, going back and watching all of last season, there were times where he hit the third read. I mean, there were times, but I think it goes back to the plays that he was most comfortable with. You know, the plays he had run over and over again. That's where, it just gets back to this idea of him being comfortable. And it's so different than any other quarterback. But again, the great quarterbacks don't always need to be comfortable to still find a way to have success. And, you know, when it comes to Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, I think they're two separate conversations in that, that's always going to be there. And there's no way that we're ever going to be able to ignore that. You know, 10 years down the road from now, we're still going to be comparing Mitchell Trubisky to those two guys because they were there on the board, and the Bears had months to prepare for that draft.
Yeah, that's football, right?
it appears at this point that they took the wrong guy, and Watson's having a great game tonight, and that's just a reality. But again, that's different from can this quarterback who they did choose, Mitchell Trubisky, be good enough for this team to win the Super Bowl? Because let's not lose sight of that. That's still the goal here.
Let's try to sneak a caller in before we take our first news break. 312-981-7200. Let's go to Joey. Joey, what's your thought on the Bears' offense?
I have a question about the running game, actually. Listening to Matt Nagy's comments after the game, he was talking about how his first instinct, if the running game doesn't get going, is go to tempo. And always we've seen the running game struggle in the past from the start of games, and it never really seems to improve that much. Obviously, I don't have like numbers in front of me. But do we think he doesn't know how to get the running game going if it fails from the start? Because it seems like he does one thing, and after that, he just kind of flounders a little bit.
Absolutely. Thanks, Joey. Thanks for the call. Yeah, that's a great question because it seems like he blamed it on the tempo of the game, but at the same time, as we know in Chicago and Chicago football, there's a tempo to running the football.
You know, I asked Cody Whitehair about this earlier today in the locker room. You know, how do you get in a rhythm as an offensive line when you're trying to run the football? And it kind of seems like an obvious answer, but it is the truth. I mean, you got to have success on first down because if you get behind if you get off schedule, you can't then run the football on second and long and third and long, and it becomes really hard as a play caller to commit to it. But there was a moment, if you go back to the Bears' second drive of the game, David Montgomery left. David Montgomery left. David Montgomery left. They tried, and then Mike Davis left. Now, they tried to run the ball four straight plays, and they still got in a third and five then where they had to throw the ball. They did get one first down there. It looked like they were going to try to commit to it, but as soon as they had a 1 yard gain, everything kind of got off schedule. And then from that point on, David Montgomery only had three carries the rest of the game. I think there's some validity to that call there, Justin. I mean, if there's one thing about Matt Nagy that we can be critical of, we're 18 games into this Matt Nagy era, and it does seem like it's been a struggle for him to commit to the run. And I don't know what it is, but you can't bail on it too early.
And you know, my brain goes right to Jordan Howard, of course, and I say, well, maybe it wasn't a great fit. Because Nagy doesn't want to run the ball at all. The idea that he wasn't the right fit or the right back for him or whatever, but maybe it really came down to Jordan Howard's presence means that there was this pressure to run the ball because Chicago fans know that Jordan Howard can run the ball. So not doing it means you've got this weapon on the sideline, so just get rid of the weapon. It's a thought.
Yeah, but Cohen's got to get a carry because if he's not going to get a carry, then the offense just becomes predictable when he's in the backfield. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, is he a receiver or is he a running back? You gotta give him a carry.
You got to get McCary. That's the mantra of Monday evening quarterback. Adam Hogue, my guest. 312-981-7200. We'll take a quick break, get the headlines with Don Klepp, and come back and talk about the positives, which is the defensive side of the football. And if I said Mitch Trubisky was the worst in week one, then I would also say that the Chicago Bears defense was still the number one defense in the NFL after the first week's games played. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and we'll have more with Adam Hogue. Stay with us.
Super talented, Kyle Long, playing for the Bears, doing such a good job, oh yeah. Talking about Kyle Long.
Beats by Pete Zimmerman tonight on Extension 720. Adam Hogue is here. It's the Monday evening quarterback. You can follow Adam on Twitter at Adam Hogue or WGNRadio.com/Bears. We're talking about the Bears. We're doing this every Monday night, given there's not a Monday night football game here on Extension 720. 312-981-7200 if you want to get in on the action. Got a couple texts I want to get to, Adam, and also some phone calls. But first, let's talk about the offensive line. Before we get to the defense, the offensive line did not play well. And you mentioned it already a couple times just when it came to the running game and getting in rhythm, but also Mitch Trubisky was under pressure the entire game. What do we make of this? This is a team that this is a unit that came back together. We're supposed to be have some consistency. These guys are all signed up. Whitehair got the extension. Is this an anomaly?
It'll be interesting to watch here going in the next few weeks, Justin, because, you know, watching the offensive line as closely as I did when I was going back through the film, a lot of one-man breakdowns, and not from the same guy. So, like, one play was Cody Whitehair. The next day was Kyle Long. Then Bobby Massey. I thought James Daniels didn't have the best debut at center. But remember, this is his first game at center in the NFL, which was his more natural position that he played at Iowa. So it was sort of just they couldn't quite all be good on the same play, right? All five guys, that's what you need. But then there were some communication issues that play in the first half where Blake Martinez came right through the line unblocked. He just went, you know, clearly James Daniels and Kyle Long weren't on the same page. Sometimes that's on the quarterback for not getting the mic point set up correctly before the snap. So that's always the type of play we're kind of guessing on, but whether it's the quarterback or the offensive lineman involved, you got to figure that out because you can't just have an unblocked linebacker come through. When two guys are blocking nobody and there's a linebacker splitting them, that's a problem.
And so I think it brings back nightmares from John Fox era, from Jay Cutler days. I think that's why everyone is so anxious. Because I have some non-Bears fans who are like, you Bears fans, man, you lose one game and everyone starts jumping ship. But it's the anxiety that we have seen this miscommunication. We have seen incompetence. We have seen outcoached, you know, games like this in the recent past. We thought that was behind us.
But we haven't seen a game under Matt Nagy yet where everything across the board, really, the only thing that was good was Allen Robinson. Yeah. And if you want to look at a good thing, I mean, we all predicted Allen Robinson would have a monster year, and he's off to a really good start. And I would also say, even though he only had six carries, David Montgomery, I thought when he touched the ball, was good. I mean, showed the things that they talked about, the ability to miss tackles, redirection, contact balance. Those were all on display on the tape. It was just a limited sample. So they got to get back to the drawing board, figure out what the issues were on the offensive line, and Matt Nagy needs to figure out the issues that he had as a coach. I think you address those two things first. Then we can get a more accurate look at where Mitch Trubisky is as a quarterback.
Now, I get that Baker Mayfield had a terrible game yesterday, and it kind of broke down. And watching a lot of that on the red zone, you saw some errant passes and some risky play. But I think it was the first pass of the game. He whipped a beautiful pass that got him down to the 5-yard line. It was something where it was a monster play. And the first text I got on my phone, it rang out. It said Baker Mayfield played in the preseason.
Yeah.
It's a friend who said, you know, this is the argument in Chicago, and the same from Tom from Park Ridge asked the same question. Did the first string not playing in the preseason cause timing to be off the way we saw it when it comes to miscommunication and penalties?
Well, let's be clear. I don't think anybody is debating whether or not the preseason, especially from a timing standpoint with the passing game, is beneficial. There's no question that would help to get some reps and to get some live game reps in the preseason before going in to a huge game in front of the entire world to kick off the NFL right. season. Nobody's debating that. I think where the Bears are coming from, where Matt Nagy's coming from, where Ryan Pace is coming from, is that that benefit does not outweigh the risk
I agree.
Of losing key players in meaningless games. And I still think, I'm not debating, could the Bears have come out and looked better offensively if they had played a little bit in the preseason? Well, it'd be hard to argue otherwise, considering how poorly they played. Right. But, I mean, what if Allen Robinson had gotten hurt? You know, what if David Montgomery had gone down? These things happen. Darius Geis got hurt in the preseason last year. He was the big rookie running back coming in last season. You know what I mean? So, and the Bears experienced that. Leonard Floyd was playing with a club on his hand for the first month of last season. And it cost him. And Adam Shaheen, I know people aren't really counting on Adam Shaheen here, but the Bears are. And he was useless all year because of the injury he suffered in Denver in the preseason. Yeah. So they wanted to avoid that from happening again.
All right, makes sense. Let's move to the defense before we take our final break of the hour. All right, so an amazing performance. Just the first series alone, breaking down the first series, you saw a confused Aaron Rodgers. You saw a defense that swarmed. It was chaotic. It was frenzied. It felt like they were in complete control, throwing offensive linemen to the side like they had. This is their first game they've ever played. It was unreal to watch the Chicago Bears defense play against the Green Bay Packers in an NFL game and dominate like that early.
It was very encouraging. And I think it gets back to the biggest reason why I was just not forecasting regression from the defense and not agreeing with those that were forecasting regression just because Vic Fangio left. And I was trying as hard as I could not to diminish the role of that because Vic Fangio is really, really good. And one would think there has to be some kind of setback. I'm sure there will be moments in the season where we're questioning some play calls. I still think that's probably going to happen. We're going to be questioning some coverages here and there because it's a different guy. That's fair. That actually happened with Vic Fangio every once in a while, believe it or not. Okay? But I kept pointing to this idea that there is improvement from within. And Roquan Smith was the example I kept bringing up. But a couple times on our podcast, the Hogan Johns podcast, I said in the preseason, Roy Robertson Harris is going to get paid by some team this coming offseason.
What a game for him.
I think he's going to fall into this category of players that the Bears just cannot afford to keep. They're going to have to make some tough decisions here because they have other guys they got to pay, like Eddie Jackson, Roquan Smith in the future. That's not as immediate. Mm-hmm. But Leonard Floyd is another guy. It's kind of like Bryce Callahan and Adrian Amos last year. You can't keep everybody. And Roy Robertson Harris is an undrafted free agent. These are the types of players that great teams bring in either late in drafts or as undrafted free agents. They build them up into great players. They develop them into really, not great, but really good players. And then eventually they have to lose them, but they get a compensation pick for them.
Right,
okay?
Right.
This is the Patriots model, right? And the Bears are trying to do that. And Roy Robertson Harris was a former outside linebacker who they switched to defensive line. They've been bulking him up over the years. And did he look good the other night.
What's the biggest difference for you looking at a Pagano-led defense over a Fangio-led defense, what we saw on Thursday night?
Well, I think what we were forecasting was some more blitzes. Now, I haven't gone through and, I guess, specifically counted up how that compares to what Vic Fangio did. Let me put it this way. I didn't see a huge difference. You know, Chuck Pagano came in and said he wasn't going to mess too much with things.
Why would you?
and I think that's, to me, one thing that's encouraging is I didn't see him mess with things too much. I mean, he talked about blitzing Roquan Smith, but then didn't really do it, and that's okay. There was one time, I know I wrote down, he blitzed Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. There were some exotic fronts that I liked. Like, at one point, Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack were on the same side. And Akeem Hicks was lined up way on the opposite side as like an edge rusher, like an outside linebacker. And that play resulted in a sack. I think that was the play where Khalil Mack got in there, looked like he was going to sack him, and then Leonard Floyd finished it off. So, but those were things Vic Fangio did too. So I like the creativity. I think there are going to be moments this season where he does bring more blitzes. But it's probably a good thing if he doesn't get labeled as somebody who's way different than Vic Fangio.
Yeah, right.
I think if that if that storyline comes up during the season, it's probably in a negative light.
The interesting thing, we'll take a break here, but it is also interesting too that, you know, you just hate to see as a Bears fan a performance like that wasted. To hold Aaron Rodgers at 200 yards, to only give up one touchdown, which was kind of fluky. Even if Deion Bush turns around, he might have a shot at that ball. But the point being that to only give up 10 points, you should win. That's the thing I think that also the angst that comes from Bears fans is like, well, you hate to lose these really brilliant one-sided performances, especially when it comes to the defense. Adam Hogus here. You can find him, of course, on Twitter and on WGN Radio, all throughout the dial and podcasts and online. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll finish up the Monday evening quarterback talking Chicago Bears. Stay with us.
We all know who won the 20th Super Bowl. From Chicago, our pride, our Bears. Iron Mike and company, for all the world to see. Put our Bears in football history. Back, let's bring it home so everyone can recall how it feels to be the number one, the Super Bowl champion, and gain the great acclaim that it reveals.
Yes,
and do the
Super Bowl polka. That's for you, Adam.
I love it.
It is the Monday Evening Quarterback here on Extension 720. 312-981-7200. We wrap up with Adam Hogue, who's going to join us Monday nights. The best advanced level breakdown of what we saw, of course, with the Packer game. One thing that I saw online today, which was worth noting, is that the Green Bay Packer media, one of the writers for The Athletic, went through and pointed out how many of the Packer guards, both the guards won, or both the tackles won against Khalil Mack. They talked about, you know, they kept him quiet. And there's any he retweeted and then deleted it because, you know, perhaps he was he thought better of getting involved with it. But the point being, how do you see that assessment? Because, yes, Khalil Mack did not have any stats in the stat board that showed sack after sack like he had against the Packers last year. But he still was a huge part of that game plan. Just look on the other side, the guys who got one-on-one coverage.
Yeah, real quick, I missed the retweeting part you were talking about. Was to Khalil? You say Khalil Mack?
Yeah, Khalil Mack wrote. He put it up there and then he took it off.
I missed that. Yeah, it's interesting.
It's like he's trying to point out that, you know, he's watching.
I had a similar moment with that exact same thing because I didn't retweet it, but I was debating whether or not getting into a Twitter debate with Matt Schneidman, who, by the way, was on our Hogan Johns podcast last week and was a very good guest, I will say. But completely disagree with his analysis of Khalil Mack. Now, has Khalil Mack had better games? Sure. But Khalil Mack has had a lot of really, really amazing games in the NFL because he's an outstanding player. I think if you are looking at it from a Packers side and you're considering the expectations of Khalil Mack every single week. I mean, teams are terrified of Khalil Mack. So if you're analyzing your offensive line against him having an okay game, that's like an A-plus grade, right, against Khalil Mack because he's just so good. So I think that's part of the conversation. But I will say, look, I was thinking this live as I'm watching the game, and I was thinking about it again Friday as I was rewatching, and then once I got through all the coaches' tape, Khalil Mack did a lot in this game to open up opportunities for other players too. So just because he didn't have a sack, like right here in my notes, I have written down from in the middle of the game, created 94 sack. That's what he did on the sack I referenced in our last segment.
Leonard Floyd created that sack
for Leonard Floyd. So that was like when he was lined up inside against a guard. So maybe give Pagano credit there. Maybe he was seeing that the tackles were handling Mack a little bit. So he switched things up, got him a different matchup. It created a sack for the defense, even if it wasn't for Khalil Mack. So look, the Packers can be relatively pleased with how they handled 52. I'm sure. I think Khalil Mack still had a good game. Yeah. I think as a whole, the defense had a great game too.
All right. So let's talk about next week. This is kind of awesome to be in week two. This is kind of shades of Buddy Ryan and the Philadelphia Eagles when he left, obviously after winning a Super Bowl. Vic Fangio did not win a Super Bowl here, but Vic Fangio takes over the Broncos. They're going to play tonight on Monday Night Football, but how about that? I mean, a quick turnaround for Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy to go against someone who knows them really well.
It's fascinating. I love this matchup in so many ways because the Bears' offense is hard to prepare for, even though it doesn't seem like it after what the Packers did against them. But usually it is hard to prepare for, and Vic Fangio obviously knows Matt Nagy and this offense so well, facing them. You got to remember, though, primarily in training camp, fans need to realize this, once the regular season starts, practices are starting offense versus scout team defense, which is trying to replicate the opponent. So it's not like you're facing the Bears offense the entire year. You're really trying to face whichever offense you're playing that week in practice. But these guys do have some amazing battles in training camp last year. Fangio's a smart coach. He calls the game so well, and he obviously knows his Bears offense and the Bears personnel so well. Flip side, though, and let's not forget this, Matt Nagy does too. He knows this defense, and he's scheming against it in camp too. And for the most part, as we just got done talking about, it's still the same defense now, just under a different coordinator. So it's not just Matt Nagy, but everyone on the Bears' offense. And let's factor in Mitchell Trubisky here. Now, I'm not going to turn this around and try to make some big argument that the Bears have some advantage against Vic Fangio, but everything we just talked about for a month, remember how much we talked about how Mitch Trubisky was facing the best defense in football every day in practice? This is that defense.
Right.
It's the Broncos' defense. It's Vic Fangio's defense. Oof. And so there's a lot of things he's going to see during the game that are familiar to him. So let's not forget about that this week as we inflate Vic Fangio and talk about the advantage he has, because the offense is going to have some of this too.
You know, I remember that 86 season when it was Buddy Ryan and Mike Ditka. They were no love lost, you could tell in the press conferences.
This is a lot different.
It's a lot different. But the players showed a lot of affection and loyalty to their defensive coach at that time. The Bears, the 85 Bears, loved Buddy Ryan. Is it the same for this defense? Do they go out of their way at the beginning of the game to do hugs and more hugs with Vic Fangio?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe the texts and phone calls are limited a little bit this week. I can't imagine that. In fact, if I was Matt Nagy, I would tell my defense, hey, no texting Vic Fangio this week. but sure, before the game, there'll be some hugs and there'll be. They love this guy. And why? How could you not?
Yeah.
But it is funny because we were talking to Eddie Jackson today in the locker room, and Eddie was. They were joking around about how he can't wear a sweatsuit. You know how Vic Fangio likes to wear the head-to-toe sweats. Can't wear that on the sideline during the game. Eddie Jackson said he did buy Vic Fangio a sweatsuit after he got the Broncos job. But he also said, I still can't picture this guy as a head coach. You know, he just doesn't give that vibe, you know, like he's always yelling at he's not really much of a yeller. He just sort of gives you a look, like a dirty look when you're not playing well. So I'm really fascinated tonight to watch this game. Vic Fangio's first game as head coach. It sounds like the Bears players are too. And more importantly, I think we know what we're going to get from the Broncos defense. Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, very similar edge rushing duo that the Bears have that he had in Chicago with Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd. On the flip side, I have a lot of questions about the Broncos offense, and I have questions about their quarterback situation, so I'm curious to see what that looks like tonight against the Raiders.
Well, we'll let you get to it and watch that game. Adam Hoge joins us every Monday for the Monday Evening Quarterback here on Extension 720. Always great to talk to one of the best in the business. Thanks, Adam.
All right, thanks, Justin.